The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. In our study of Nehemiah, we have come to the point where the work of rebuilding the walls and repairing the gates has finally been completed. At this point, it would be tempting for Nehemiah to relax his guard, sit back, and revel in his own faithfulness and ingenuity. But Nehemiah knew that he owed all praise to God for the near miraculous completion of the walls in just 52 days. Join us today as we see him and his companions rejoicing in the faithfulness of God, even as they continue to be wary and on guard against the schemes of the enemy.
Lord, my God,
Back to the book of Nehemiah. We're going to begin reading in chapter 6 and verse 15. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. And we've been dwelling on opposition to the work of the kingdom of God, external opposition. We've talked about internal opposition. And we're going to see one more form of external opposition, one more tool in the armory of the enemy before the night is out, Lord being our helper. But first, I just want to look at where we are, the completion of the walls. The walls have been completed. Finally, after all this effort and all this trouble, now we see the finish line not only in view, but it's been crossed, okay? The wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. Now that's almost a miracle in and of itself, that it only took 52 days, less than 8 weeks, to get this wall finished that had been broken down. We'll talk about that again in a moment. But so, in a sense, the children of Israel have crossed the finish line. You remember what we said? Don't fumble the ball before you cross the finish line, okay? That was sort of been our topic over this course of this chapter because they're so close to finishing but weren't quite there. Well, now they're finished. Now they're finished. So surely now they can rest. Surely now we can sit down and just bask in the kingdom and do nothing but just enjoy the fruits of the labors of the kingdom. Well, I think you know the answer is no, that's not going to ever happen here in this life, okay? Because we're going to see the fourth of the four strategies employed by the enemy to attack God's kingdom here at the end of the work. You remember there was compromise, there was slander, and there was threats, and now we're fixing to see some wicked schemes that are going on even after the completion of the work of rebuilding the walls. But now, that's not what I want to focus on, though. That's not what we need to focus on. We certainly need to know what the enemy is up to. But we do not need to major in the study of the enemy. We need to major in the study of our God and His faithfulness and His greatness. We need to know about the enemy, but we don't need to be delving down into all of his schemes other than just to know what to expect. Because God, our God, is what we need to focus on is the greatness and the faithfulness of our God. And that's what I want to talk about tonight in the completion of these walls. Because see, when we rejoice in God's faithfulness and God's greatness, then it's in those times that the schemes of the enemy just don't work very well. when we're focused upon the king and we're focused upon the kingdom, you know, there's a lot of things that the enemy can throw at us, but as long as we're focused upon the king and upon the kingdom, most of those attacks, some will get in, but most of them will be dispelled because of the greatness and the faithfulness of our God. So I want you to notice what's happened here. How should we approach the completion of the walls? Well, first of all, we should rejoice in God's faithfulness. We should rejoice in His faithfulness. Now, Nehemiah and his friends had been faithful. Some people accuse us of having a do-nothing religion. Well, if that's the case, I missed the boat, Brother Craig. I've been working too hard. Okay, we don't have a do-nothing religion. We have nothing to do with getting to heaven. But we have much to do with spreading that word here and with working in the kingdom of God here. You know, it takes effort to be a part of God's kingdom, of God's church. It takes effort. You know, the most basic part of that effort is getting up and coming to church, you know. There's a saying that Brother Sonny Piles used to use. I've never forgotten it. And if you don't know much about mechanics, the mechanic work and engines, you won't get this. But Brother Sonny used to say that God, the people of God are like a car engine. He said they start missing before they quit. Now, some of you that know what that's all about, I'll explain it to the others later, okay? But they often start missing before they quit. The point is that one of the most basic things we have to do and put effort into is getting up and coming to church on Sunday mornings. You know, that's just a basic, and really that's the easiest thing we do. It's easy to come to church. It's not as easy to put into practice those things we learn at church or from the Word of God. But Nehemiah and his friends have been faithful. You remember his faithfulness from the beginning over there in chapter 1? He mourned and he fasted and he prayed when he heard about the problems that the people of God were facing. In chapter 2 and verse 4, he said, "So I prayed to the God of heaven," after the king asked him what was going on. And then in verse 11, he said, after the king gave him permission to go, "So I came to Jerusalem." In chapter 2 and verse 18, we're told that the people, "So they strengthened their hands for this good work." In chapter 4 and verse 6, it said, "So we built the wall." In chapter 4 and verse 21, "So we labored in the work." And now, here we come to the end of this portion of the story. "So the wall was finished." So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. What an amazing feat this was. In only 52 days, they had finished this wall. And listen, it had been a great destruction. You go back over to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and you begin reading there. In fact, let's just turn back over there. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and we'll begin reading in verse 19. This is the end of that chapter where he's telling us about what Nebuchadnezzar did when he came to Jerusalem. It was a great destruction that he wrought. In verse 19 of 2 Chronicles chapter 36, we're told, "They burnt the house of God and break down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof." The destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar in 586 BC was catastrophic. It wasn't just a little foray into the city. It was catastrophic. The Babylonian army not only breached the city walls and tore them down after a two-year siege, mind you, but they also destroyed the Temple of Solomon. They destroyed the king's palace. They destroyed most of the other important buildings. And then to top it all off, they carried the people captive to Babylon. Keep reading there. It says, "And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. There's a lot of preaching right there, but I just leave it at this, that it was 70 years that they were in captivity there in Babylon. So he carried the people off and listened. Notice that not only did he carry the people off after he destroyed the walls and the buildings, those walls and buildings had lain in ruin for 70 years. Now that's important, because think about how much decay, how much deterioration there can happen in 70 years. It doesn't take that long for a house to fall in. You abandon a house for 10 or 20 years, and next thing you know, the roof's caving in, and you got problems, maybe a leak here and a window out there. And so about 31 years ago, we built our house. But if we left it for 10 years and came back, there'd be a lot we'd have to do to fix it up. And that's not how they left the buildings over there. They tore them down. They knocked them down flat. And deterioration and decay would have occurred over that period of time. But now, at long last, after all the troubles, against all odds, the work of the rebuilding was done. That catastrophic destruction had been righted, and now they have the walls. All this hard work that was put in by a lot of God's people had come to fruition. But now the truth of the matter is that as hard as they worked, the true glory goes to God. Because as faithful as they were, God was more faithful. We ought to be faithful to God. You know, there's no There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. We ought to be as faithful to God as He is to us, but we never will be. He will always be more faithful to us than we can ever be to Him. And God had been faithful. Remember what Nehemiah said over in chapter 1 and verse 8. He said, "Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there." Now he's quoting to some extent, it's not exact quote, but he's quoting to some extent what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'm not going to turn there and read it tonight, but you turn and read it sometime, beginning down in about verse 25. God had said, if you go against my word and you're not faithful to me when you come into the promised land, then I'm going to scatter you among the nations. And that's a warning that we ought to heed ourselves. God can do that. God can scatter us among the nations. And we've seen it happen at times. We've seen it happen because of problems within the kingdom of God, because of God's people refusing to rebuild the walls of fellowship, rebuild the walls of doctrine, rebuild the walls of love, and that's the faithfulness to His church. But yet He says this, that's the warning. But He also said, now when you get out in the nations out there, when you're scattered, wherever you may be, if you turn to me and you start keeping my commandments and you start doing them, I don't care if you were cast out, as he says here, into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet I will gather you from thence and will bring you into the place that I've chosen to set my name there. We have seen that happen here at this church. We have seen people who were scattered among the religious denominations of the world where the truth wasn't taught, where the truth had been lost out there in the world, that have come home to the church and have seen the place which is the pillar and ground of the truth and have come back to those truths, you see. God is faithful to His promise, and He was faithful here. He was faithful to restore them when they repented. He was faithful to lead them when they began to seek Him in the right way. And let me just say this to you, child of God. In every act of repentance, there is always an element of the faithfulness of God. See, now repentance, think about what it means. It requires effort on our part, right? It requires us to do something. Repentance isn't just to sit back and let it happen. The prodigal son didn't sit down there in the pig pen and say, "Well, I guess there's a reason for me to be here. God has a reason for putting me here." Well, God didn't put him there. He put Himself there. And you know, God gives him a way out. There's a way of escape. He tells us about it over in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, I believe it is. He said, "There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful." God didn't send the temptation. God is faithful, you see. The temptation took you, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you. You know, I like that word, suffer. you can translate it permit or allow, whatever, but I like the word suffer, because, and I believe those KJV translators used it for a reason, because I believe that's how God deals with sin and temptation in this world. He suffers it. He doesn't like it. He doesn't deal with it. He doesn't play around with it, but He suffers it. He said He will not suffer you, though, to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now, I don't want to get off preaching on that and the prodigal son, but just think about this. You know, most of the time, we misquote that verse. We say, "God won't put on you more than you can bear." That's the way. And I've done it too. I've said that. You know, I have to confess to that. And I know when I've said it, I believe I had the right understanding of it. But still, if we're going to quote, we'd be better off to quote it than just to try to paraphrase it. Somebody goes down to the prodigal son who's sitting there lusting after the husks that the pigs are eating. And he says, "Buddy, just hang in there. God won't put on you more than you can bear." That prodigal son look around and say, "I don't know what you're talking about. It feels pretty rough to me, preacher." No, the right message is that there's no temptation taking you, young man, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, And he won't suffer you to be tempted above your able, but he'll make a way of escape. And let me tell you about the way of escape. The way of escape is to return to God, return to the Father's house. That's exactly what the prodigal son did. He got up. He came to himself, by the way, which tells us he was a child of God already. Because if he'd just come to his own natural self, he'd have been happy wallowing in the mud with the pigs. But he came to himself. And he said, what am I doing down here? You know that prodigal son, that's not a story about going down in the pig pen and getting regenerated. That's a story about a regenerated man getting out into the pig pens of life and remembering, coming to himself and remembering that he had it so much better in his father's house. You know, I talk to people, I see people, heard of people and have actually visited with people who've gotten away from the old church. And they've gone out and they've walked among the churches of this world where the truth is not taught and the pillar and ground of the truth is not there. And then they come back at a later time in life to that old truth and that old pillar and that place where the truth is preached on a regular basis, Sunday to Sunday, where the Word of God is proclaimed in a powerful, in a God-honoring way. And it's like coming back, like that prodigal son coming back to the Father's house. Oh, what a blessing. God is faithful. And in every repentance, there's something we do in repentance. Now, I'm not talking about the repentance, the change of mind, the change of heart that's granted in the new birth. That has to be given. But I'm talking about the exercise of that repentance, that repentant heart and repentant mind that we should be doing on a daily basis. And we're told in Romans 2 and verse 4 that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You know, that's another thing that I could get way off on tonight, but I'm not going to. But let me just say this much about it. We hear a lot of preaching of fire and brimstone, they call it, trying to scare sinners into making a decision to get themselves saved for eternal heaven. I don't read about the wrath of God leading anybody to repentance, but the goodness of God leads his children to repentance. See, it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. Rejoicing in God's faithfulness. That's what this verse is about. So the wall was finished. I don't think Nehemiah just sat down ho-hum and said, okay, let me just record this. I suspect, and this is strictly Chris McCool, not me being dogmatic about it, but I strongly suspect that as he penned those lines, there were tears that wet the page. So the wall was finished. I want to tell you, beloved, when we saw things beginning to revive here at this church, when Aunt Lorraine saw things beginning to come back here at this church, she didn't just say, well, that's great, now let's go on to something else. No, I saw tears in her eyes. I saw her weeping from time to time. Still does that. I'm worried every time somebody joins the church, Brother Mackey, that Aunt Lorraine is going to just go on to heaven because she gets so excited and so begins to weep and get worked up, you know. We kid about that all the time, don't we, Aunt Lorraine? But seriously, it's a glorious thing when the walls of Jerusalem are rebuilt. It's a glorious thing when the walls of the kingdom of God are rebuilt and the work of the kingdom is successful, and visibly so. The work of the kingdom is, in one sense, always successful. God's work is always successful for sure, but sometimes we don't see the fruits of it, but when we see it, it's glorious. Rejoicing in God's faithfulness.
We're going to pause the message here for now. We want you to join us again tomorrow, where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, C-H-R-I-S-M-C-C-O-O-L. @gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.